welcome on board to the inaugural episode of Putting It Plainly, the first in what we hope will be an engaging and informative series of podcasts produced by us, Stevenson Harwood's Aviation Litigation and Regulation team. My name is Patrick Bettle, and today I am joined by my colleagues Rupali Sharma and Lucy Mosley. Following on from our article on greenwashing in aviation, which can be found on Stevenson Harwood's Aviation Hub, we will be kicking off the series with our top tips to help you avoid allegations of greenwashing. Now, like all lawyers, we love a good definition. Some of our listeners will undoubtedly be very familiar with the term greenwashing, but for those who aren't, and for those who could do with a quick refresher, we couldn't resist the opportunity to start this podcast by going back to basics and explaining what we really mean by that phrase. In the corporate context, greenwashing refers to the practice of a company overstating its environmental credentials for commercial gain. The phrase was actually coined back in the 1980s by an environmentalist called Jay Westerveld in relation to an emerging practice in the hotel business, namely, encouraging customers to reuse towels in order to reduce their environmental footprint, rather than, as was really the case, to help hotels cut their costs by reducing the amount of laundry they had to do. Naturally, greenwashing as a term has particular relevance for the aviation industry, as well as for other industries that are heavily involved with the use of fossil fuels. In an aviation context, greenwashing is most often associated with claims by airlines and aircraft or engine manufacturers, aka OEMs, as to their environmental credentials. This could be, for example, with reference to the effectiveness of any carbon offsetting measures they employ, or in respect of the amount and efficiency of any sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, used in their operations. A good example of this would be KLM's recent claim that the airline is moving towards a more sustainable future, which landed the carrier in hot water with the Dutch courts. Greenwashing is a hot topic in ESG and is causing significant issues for the aviation industry in particular, as airlines and OEMs increasingly look to promote their environmental and sustainability initiatives in the race to jet zero. Making overblown and unsubstantiated statements about your environmental credentials can lead to big problems, including breaches of consumer and investor protection laws, as well as unwelcome attention from regulators. To give the aviation sector a helping hand, we have considered the applicable rules and regulations in the UK and the EU, and we have identified 5 key tips for you to keep in mind when preparing your next environmental advertising campaign. Now, please do bear in mind that these tips are not legal advice, but simply practical suggestions for you to consider. However, if you do need legal advice, well, you know where we are.
Thanks, Patrick. I really love that fact, actually, about how greenwashing was coined. I used to think that hotels were really clever by being so environmentally friendly and sustainable by reusing the towels. But who would actually think that that would create a term that's now being used against the aviation industry? Anyway, moving on to what you really want to hear today, and that is the top 5 tips. To change it up and so that you don't get bored of my voice, Lucy and I will take it in turns to share these tips with you. So please sit back and relax whilst I go on to top tip number 1. And this is possibly the easiest one to fall foul of. Avoid using broad absolute terms. So these are your terms like carbon neutral, CO2 neutral, net zero, and even terms like green, environmentally friendly, and yes, I'm going to say it, sustainable. Unless they can be supported by a high level of substantiation. Otherwise, these will be challenged. And we've already seen that here in the UK with the ASA and also in the EU and the national courts. So the most recent decision with KLM in the Dutch courts. And also the latest direction that the EU Commission is moving towards. And that's including generic environmental claims like these in the blacklist of prohibited unfair commercial practices in the EU's latest Empowering Consumer Directive, which came into force recently. The EU is of the view that you cannot use these broad terms unless excellent environmental performance can be demonstrated. You're probably thinking, what does that even mean? Well, in our view, that means that you're complying with top environmental performance standards for a specific environmental characteristic. But hopefully, as with all legislation, we're hoping it will become much clearer once the new rules are implemented and they've been tried and tested. The Competition and Markets Authority, or the CMA as we like to call them here in the UK, is looking to push a very similar change to the consumer protection from unfair trading regulations. They too want to see a blacklist of absolute broad terms like carbon neutral and CO2, which are prohibited from environmental campaigns. And in essence, that's to allow them to commence swift enforcement action in the event of greenwashing. So therefore, we recommend avoiding such broad terms in your next environmental campaign. If you do decide to use such terms, then please make sure that it's very clear what you mean by them, and the initiatives that you are relying on are delivering the results now and are backed up by a high level of substantiation evidence. Initiatives that are intended to deliver results in the future, whilst all great in themselves, will not be appropriate and are likely to be regarded as misleading. Also, make sure that if the environmental campaign suggests a business is already taking steps to reduce emissions and these steps are having a positive impact on the environment, this is balanced with the organization's current emissions, activities, and strategy to reducing these. Unfortunately, aircraft still contribute to greenhouse gas emissions, and we can't shy away from that fact. But what we can do is that we can balance it with all the positive steps that you are taking.
As well as avoiding the use of absolute terms, we should not assume that the consumer has the same level of understanding as the business. So our second top tip is to consider how an average consumer will interpret the environmental claim and how knowledgeable your audience is likely to be. Whilst the level of knowledge on sustainability initiatives is increasing, it should not be assumed that the consumer has the same level of understanding as the business. For example, many consumers might not fully understand what is meant by the terms such as carbon neutral, carbon offsetting, and SAF. So what you should do is explain what these terms mean in the context of the environmental campaign. You could consider adding more storytelling into your environmental campaigns. For instance, with SAF, you could provide a brief summary for the consumer of what SAF is, how it is made, and the steps the business is taking to invest in SAF. For example, we've seen some airlines use diagrams to show how SAF is produced. As we saw with the recent ruling of the ASA on the environmental advert by Lufthansa in December 2023, it is no excuse that space or characters may be limited for the advert, and therefore it is not possible to provide the necessary information. If the explanation is crucial and material information that will enable the consumer to understand the environmental claim, then it must be included. Another important piece of guidance, according to the CMA's Green Claims Code, is if the information cannot fit into the environmental claim, then it should be easily accessible to consumers in a different way, for example, via a link to the airline's website or a QR code in the advert.
It's actually really fascinating how SAF is made, and that it's essentially made up of different sources of biomass. I wouldn't have thought that the rapeseed oil that I use for cooking in my kitchen is also used in SAF. Moving on to the third top tip, have a credible third-party organization back up or audit any claims that you make. I know you'll be thinking, well, this is going to come at a cost, and it will do. But it will help verify and assess sustainability initiatives. And this is clearly the direction that the EU is moving towards with its Green Claims Directive. We have seen airlines using science-based targets administered by the Science-Based Targets Initiative. I'm going to refer to them as SBTI because the name is quite a mouthful. Companies basically submit their carbon reduction goals to SBTI. You then have a team of experts that provide you with an independent assessment and validation. So by way of example, EasyJet published its net zero program, relying on the development of new hydrogen aircraft and carbon removal technology, with a clear roadmap with SBTI targets for a reduction in emissions of 35% by 2035. So building actually on what Lucy just mentioned, if you go onto the EasyJet website, they've used some really great diagrams and graphs to explain to consumers how they're anticipating or expecting to reach that target by 2035.
And they even have a great image of an error engine on hydrogen. Having a third party work with you, though, is not foolproof. KLM also works with SBTi, yet we've seen that they're facing claims in the Dutch courts, and they've also been involved in a complaint by the consumer group, BEUC. Nevertheless, we do still think it is worth having a third party organisation on board, because it does provide validation and credibility to your environmental claim, and we would hope that it would make greenwashing claims in the future much harder to make.
Our fourth top tip is to include balanced information about the business's ongoing contribution to emissions or other environmental harm. Where businesses are responsible for a significant amount of harmful emissions or other environmental harm, adverts which reference specific environmentally beneficial initiatives are more likely to be considered misleading if they do not include balancing information about the business's significant ongoing contribution to emissions. By way of example, KLM's sustainability page now says, "Air travel is currently not sustainable. Check what we are doing to improve our sustainability, to reach our future goals, and the small steps you can take to help." So it is about presenting what the business is doing to further its sustainability efforts, whilst also acknowledging the ongoing wider existing issues. Our final top tip is to ensure that claims about future goals are based on a verifiable strategy. By way of example, if you're projecting to use a certain proportion of SAF in your aircraft within a particular timeframe, make sure to be clear when that date is and that you have a viable strategy of reaching this. There is already a rising scepticism regarding the lack of availability of SAF, which is raising questions over how sustainable it is. And consumers, climate activists, and the advertising regulators are becoming live to this, as we discuss further in our recent greenwashing article.
Sadly, that is all we have time for today. Our list of five top tips is not exhaustive, and there are many other factors, including checking relevant domestic law and regulation in the UK and EU, that you should consider before releasing your environmental campaign. So in the UK, that's set out in your advertising codes and guidance, the CMA's Green Claims Code, which includes a really helpful green claims checklist that I would really recommend you checking out, and in the consumer protection regulations. Whereas in the EU, this is in your Unfair Commercial Practices Directive, the recently approved Empowering Consumer Directive, and then the proposed Green Claims Directive. But don't worry, you don't need to remember all these names, and you can find them very easily in our Greenwashing and Aviation article, which is on the Stevenson Harwood Aviation Hub. The aviation industry is working tirelessly to reach the goal of carbon net zero by 2050. And airlines should not be afraid or silenced in promoting the initiatives and actions they are taking to play their part in reaching this goal. We should be proud of these steps and we should be able to promote them. Greenwashing claims are sadly here to stay and are likely to increase following the recent rulings by the UK's ASA and the Dutch courts, and also the EU's decision to incorporate specific environmental claims into the consumer protection legal framework. The key is to ensure that your environmental campaign is clear, accurate, credible, and most importantly, supported by up-to-date and easy-to-understand evidence. If you have any questions arising from our article on greenwashing in aviation, or from our podcast today, then please contact us using the details set out on our Stevenson Harwood Aviation Hub.
Thank you, Rupali and Lucy. That was really informative. We hope you have enjoyed listening to our first podcast, and please stay tuned for more to come from the Aviation Litigation and Regulation team here at Stevenson Harwood. Until then, over and out.